Introduction. I know I will remember the city as a film, a backdrop, somewhere I witnessed rather than lived. The first image, just as the opening credits fade, will be the hot tarmac of its streets smoking after rain, an entire city burning from the ground up. But then there are those things you cannot see. The vegetable smell of kelp mashed on the serrated shore of Ocean Point, the taste of salt on your lips. The light bleached, peering, as if you were being scrutinized, as if the sun was trying to determine what use it might have for you. For the first week I am blinded by it. The summer gales, the blistering light. The sea is buoyant and cold. That city is the only place in my life I have ever experienced a nostalgia for when I was still there, as if the days and weeks were destined to be revealed as not real after all. They belonged to a separate dimension, neither past, present, nor future. They were being pulled out from under me even as I lived them. In the film, after the rain-smoked streets, we see Pieter. He is walking toward us across the grass. There is a prowling quality to Pieter's walk, which Rian inherited, along with his narrow, delicate feet. I am next to Sara, her uncle and her cousin. We are all sitting at a stone table underneath a sculpted shrub, which overhangs in an unnatural oblong. Flies harass the wedges of cheese the expert courgette and pepper antipasto Sara has prepared. Only a few nights ago we nearly lost all this: the pool, the sculpted tree, the date palm, the house itself with its architectural heritage, its price tag in the millions. I remember how darkness filled the kitchen that night as Pieter and I talked, like liquid poured into a glass, both of us so absorbed in the narrowness of our escape, we dared not interrupt the moment to light the candles that were our only illumination. How we stepped outside where the flowers amaryllis, jasmine, bougainvillea were still blooming. Despite the heat they'd been exposed to, they had survived, and their scent traveled on the breeze. How after nearly four unanticipated months in the city, these reversed skies were becoming my skies. I could read the upside-down constellations now, although I've lived all my life in another hemisphere. Now it is a hot day, a goodbye lunch, and Pieter comes walking barefoot across the grass, past the swimming pool. Patches of sweat soak his sky-blue shirt with the small white stitches. He has several buttons open from the neck. "You're halfway to taking your shirt off," Sara says. "Well, I would, but I don't want to scare away the ladies," he says. "Or we'll fall on you and attack you." Sara's cousin grins. "Don't do it," I say. "It's not worth the risk." The vague air of seduction of something withheld, do all writers have this? I knew him, I didn't know him. Perhaps that is all I will be able to say about Pieter in the future. The writer who was tired of writing, who was always on the brink of giving up, who had been left behind by history, who hadn't come into history at the right moment, whose books were considered evasive parables in a time of national crisis, whose works had never found popular acceptance despite or because of their deadly seriousness. I can see him calculating how long it would be before he could indulge his addiction to contemplation again, how long he would have to serve lemonade to relatives on a heat-staggered day. But today he is Pieter, slim and winningly arrogant, my friend, the father I never had. I look up and see he is going to leave us. I know this from the deliberate way he approaches the table. He comes up behind Sara's elderly uncle and hovers. "I'm going to have to love you and leave you. I have a meeting at the National Library." The uncle with the hearing aid takes no notice of him. I stare at Pieter, giving him what I know it is a plaintive look. This may be the last time I ever see him. My flight leaves in 4 hours' time. "Cheers," Pieter says. His voice is distant, even acrid. He has been this way with me all day. I don't know what I have done. It's as if he has only today discovered or realized something not to his liking. After he has disappeared into the house, and I hear the car pull away, I can't hear what anyone is saying. A draining feeling tugs all of my energy from me. Suddenly the heat is oppressive. It ripples through the burnt garden, the tangle of vegetation that used to run rampant without the twice-weekly chop from Lewis the gardener, in a kiln heat, a dead mid-afternoon moment, the swimming pool glistening in the late summer light.